go to Luke 4, but if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, I appreciate the Lord moving on our hearts this morning. 1 Corinthians 10, if you're willing and able, we'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. I want to read just two verses and let you be seated today. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 12. Wherefore, Paul is writing now to a church. He says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you. What's that? It's taken you. But such as is common to man. But God. Glad that's all through our Bible. But God. But God, look who He is faithful. He's proved that to me many years. When I've not been faithful, God has. God is faithful. That's who He is. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you today. We thank you for this time that we can gather together out from this old world, God, into a place that, God, you have forever settled before we ever knew you. You saw this place. And I thank you, you are a God that prepares the pathway through life for your children. Thank you, we have this place on this hillside that we can come, God, and worship you in spirit and in truth. We realize that we must have the right spirit to worship you. And God, the truth must be exposed in order that we worship you. Thank you, this is a place that we can have a Bible that is filled with truth and not error this morning. Help us now to be a blessing to your people. Do that only which you can do by the Word of God today and the Spirit of God. I pray you give us traveling safety this week. God, you'd help us. Touch all of those on the prayer list. God, as a family mentioned that 12-year-old, we pray for that child today. God, that little month-old baby that we've been praying for, thank you for the good news of that child. Help us today. We'll be grateful to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Within the context of this verse, you'll notice that the Lord is dealing with the children of Israel that was called out in the wilderness. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, they did all drink the same spiritual drink. They followed Moses. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Those 40 years of journeying through the desert, as they were following Moses, there was somebody that was always following them, and that was Christ. Aren't you glad that even when it don't look like He's around, He's always around. You know why? Because He's faithful. The Bible said, with many of them, watch within the context of this passage, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. They were taken over. Now, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lust. Now, as I read to you, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I feel like this verse has been used out of text a lot of times. You've heard this saying, God will not put on you more than you can bear. Yes, He will. Absolutely, He will. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You see, we're no match for the devil. We're no match for the problems. That's why we need the Lord, because He can do things we can't do. mine and your, our flesh, our mind, our heart can only take so much. But aren't you glad there's a comforter that lives within us that can help us with all of our struggles? Now, within this text, he's talking about being overthrown in the wilderness. He's talking about temptations. He goes on to say this. He says, neither be, in verse 7, ye idolaters, or were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Here, he's not talking about pressure. He's talking about sin. He's talking about the temptations of the devil. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. They are written for our admonition or our good upon whom the ends of the world are come. Then he says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You're no match for the devil. You may be a pretty good Christian, but the devil's got your number. You may be a pretty good person, but at the end of the day, we've all got an issue. It's a sin of this flesh. The sin that lives within of us. Paul said, O wretched man that I am. Now watch what Paul says. He said, you will not be tempted. You will not be visited from sin. If you are, there is always a way of escape. We ought to be looking for that door of opportunity to get out of that environment this morning. The things that trouble you and I. If I have problems with liquor, the last thing I need to do is pass by a liquor store. Somebody say amen. If I have a problem with other things, I must find a way of escape and disconnect myself from those vices. Now the Lord did something in Luke 4 that I'm interested in. We have here confrontation between the Lord and the devil. And we know that the Lord has never lost a battle, so He's going to defeat the devil. Aren't you glad we're on the winning side today? You see, we cannot conquer any battles within the power of our flesh. But only through Christ can we overcome and be overcomers that the Bible teaches us to be. Now, I want you to notice in this great sacred text, it's one of the most sacred texts in our Bible. Look in Luke chapter number 4. I want to give you some highlights this morning, then I'll be done preaching. I'm preaching on overcoming temptation. When temptations come, it's something that everybody in this building, We all have similarities this morning. We all have something very much in common. We all must face temptations. You know, it was a great day, one of the great days of my life when I heard an old man of God. He's really renowned, had one of the greatest names out preaching, walked with the Lord, the power of God was upon him. He said, you know something, it was a great day in my life when I realized I was a human. And it took the God that lived in me to be an overcomer. This morning I realized that man, even the way the Lord had used him, he was very much robed in flesh. So are you and I this morning. We're robed in flesh. We're needy creatures. As Miss Amy had sung today, you may not be having problem yet, but you just hold on. It's not if you will, it's when you will. When you will. You know, these people used to really make me feel bad when they would act like they never had no problems with the flesh, the world, or the devil. Those things give me problems every day of my life. But I'm glad it's a problem today because it used to not be a problem. Because before I got saved, I didn't realize that it was a problem. But now that I'm trying to walk with the Lord and live right to the best of my ability, try to stay in the Word of God, I found out we do have an enemy and we have a flesh. So let's see what the Lord does now in Luke 4. Watch this, first of all. You'll notice, now Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, He returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Well, what had he been doing in Jordan, preacher? Well, remember, John had baptized him. Heaven opened above him. There was a dove descended, not on John, but came upon Jesus. There's a voice spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now notice, Jesus is just coming out of a great experience with His Father. He's coming back from Jordan, and watch this. The Spirit of God leads Him into the wilderness. Now I want to remind you this. The Bible said in the book of Genesis, and God did tempt Abraham. But God did not tempt Abraham with sin. It was a test. It was a test. God is too holy to fool with sin. And so here He's leading Jesus to one of the biggest tests or one of the biggest temptations of His life or of His ministry. So I want to remind you today that the Spirit of God led Jesus into this wilderness experience. You may wonder, well, why am I in such a wilderness experience? It may be that the Lord led you there. Because see, we learn a lot of things in the wilderness. If everything was on the mountain, we wouldn't know much about God. But honey, you go to walking down through them low places of life, you'll find out God is faithful. Now, God did not lead His Son toward sin, but He did lead Him toward a test. And so we pick this passage up now. He's been full of the Holy Ghost. He returned from Jordan. Now I want you to think about something. He's full of the Holy Ghost. Some of you know little about that, but the Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit of God. It is simply being filled with the Spirit of God. It is a yielding every day. We must yield ourselves in obedience and in sacrifice to Christ, what He wants us to do. And so here we see this verse 2, it picks up now. We find the devil tempting, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Now here, because of the next passage, we find out that the Lord had been fasting. He had went 40 days and 40 nights without food, and He was very much hungry. And we find here the devil is tempting. But now let's pick him up in verse 3. And the devil said, you'll notice the devil is talking. Well, the devil loves to talk a lot. He's some more talker. He'll get in your head. He's so good at talking. The devil loves to talk. But I want to insert this verse before I go on with this sermon, because I know the devil will run me crazy today and this week. And I want to go on and say this. Watch this. He's talking. But in Revelation chapter number 20 and verse 3, there's coming a day that the Lord's going to shut him up. And I sure am glad He's going to close His big mouth. Revelation chapter number 20, verse 3, the Bible said, and He was cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him. He should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. I'm glad the Lord's going to close His mouth one day. Boy, the devil, he runs his mouth. And we'll notice here, not only the devil's tempting, but the devil is very much talking. Now, look in verse 3. Not only do you find that he is talking, but he is troubling. He's troubling. And the devil said, that's the talking, but here's the troubling. Unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now he's troubling. He knew that the Lord was hungry. He knew that he had been there 40 days and 40 nights. There he had given himself to the Father, trying to listen to everything that he wanted him to do to get so close to him. And the devil knew about that. Matter of fact, the devil knew when John baptized him in heaven open. The devil's sitting there watching it all. And now he comes to him in this troubling situation and he says, if thou be the Son of God. Has the devil ever tried to make you doubt who you really are in the eyes of God? Now can you imagine, watch this, heaven opened above Jesus, God spoke out. The devil seen him. 40 days later, he comes up to Jesus and he says, now if thou be the Son of God. He loves to trouble us. He loves to trouble us with doubt. He loves to make you doubt who you are. You know, I never did have any doubts till I got saved. I never did doubt being saved when I was a lost man. But boy, when I got saved, I got to doubting. And I'm going to tell you, the devil will make you miserable doubting. See, you're never going to be effectual for Christ until you get this thing solidified in your heart and your spirit. I'm saved and I'm on my way toward heaven. It's the blood of Jesus that's washed me clean. I can't work good enough to go to heaven. The finished work on Calvary's cross. I put my faith in Christ. The Spirit of God has dealt with my heart and I came unto Him and He saved me. You may be surprised. One of the greatest preachers of our area. He was a ball coach. And he pastored many years. I remember I was at a men's meeting one morning, preacher's meeting. Brother Root Caswell, I don't think he'd mind me saying his name. He's in heaven today. One of the smartest men I've ever heard preach. I mean, he was a school teacher. And I mean, he was just the way he'd study, the student of the Word. He was up preaching one morning. Brother David, he broke down and started crying. And he said something to me and about 15 other pastors there. He said, you know, for about 3 years, the devil tormented me about my salvation. I was pastoring. God had used me. I was an older man. And it came upon me in such a way that he troubled me in such a way he got to making me doubt my salvation. Well, let me ask you something. If he came to Jesus and tried to get him to doubt that he was the Son of God, I wonder how vulnerable we are this morning when he comes to us to make us doubt who we are in the Lord. He'd love to make you doubt that you're a good parent. You know, a lot of y'all think, well, you know, the preacher and wife don't ever have any issues. I've seen my wife sit on the floor and absolutely cry herself down. Walk in and say, baby, what in the world is wrong with you? And she says, I'm not a good mother. I'm not a good preacher's wife. I said, well, listen to me. Listen who's talking to you. She said, the devil's talking to me. I said, that's right, honey. It's the devil. Realize it and raise up over him. The devil will trouble you this morning. He'll make you doubt that you're a good parent. He'll make you doubt that you're a good wife or a good husband, a good father, a good mother. The devil loves to bring, when he's talking, he loves to bring trouble. So he loves within this to bring doubt. If you never decide where you're standing with the Lord, you'll never be effectual for Jesus. There are some Sundays. This particular Sunday and last Sunday, the Lord has showed me before I got here a day prior what I'm to preach. There are some Sundays, you know, I just have to preach by faith with an inkling. Sometimes it's just like a firebrand in my heart. Just like this morning, I know what I'm supposed to preach. What are you saying? You've got to live by faith. By faith. And you've got to have that assurance in your heart of who you are. So I want to ask you this morning, have you ever been saved by the grace of God? I'm not asking you if you joined a church. I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. And after you get saved, you ought to do both of them things. But let me tell you, being born again is essential. Jesus is the only way to heaven this morning. That's never changed and it never will change. So we see in this wilderness experience, this overcoming temptation, we see the devil's tempting, the devil's talking, the devil is troubling. Now look in verse 5, he does something. We see now the devil is taking in verse 5. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain. To a high mountain. You see, he dealt with Jesus in the valley of humiliation. But now he's taking him to the mountain of elevation. Can I tell you that I found this out, that the devil loves to attack your gift. He really don't want to take away your gift. He just wants you to use your gift to glorify him instead of God. You see, he took him to a high place. He was currently in a valley. Now let me ask you this, don't common sense tell you this? If he took him to a high place, he was in a lower place. So can I tell you, the devil's going to mess with you in a low place, and he's going to mess with you in a high place. Wherever you are in life, you always realize this, the devil is tempting. And so here we see that he is taken. Verse 5, he takes him up into a high mountain. Look what he does. Not only now is he taking, but now he's tampering. Look. The devil taking him up into high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Young people, do you see what the Bible just said? Everything the devil's got, he can show you in one moment of time. But let me tell you something. It'll take God a lifetime before you'll ever see all that he's got. And boy, the devil's good at telling young people in the moment of time, look at all that I've got. Don't you realize the devil don't have much if it just takes a moment to show what he's got? If you walked in to see some people's knife collection, and you walked in, you said, yeah, well, you got 3 knives, you walk out, that didn't take long. But a real collection would take you about a day and a half. Somebody say amen. Well, the devil don't have much because it don't take him long to show it. So he took him up in the moment of a time. Now, we see him, no doubt. He is taking. He is tampering. But now, look in verse 6. He is tricking. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Not only is he tampering, but now he is tricking. Do you notice what he just done to Jesus? A lot like he does with me and you. He says, Jesus, look around here. All this I'll give you. But Jesus had everything. You know, that's a lot like me and you. He won't show us what we have, just what we don't have. He loves to show you all these pretty things. But what about what God's already given you? Is it worth giving up what God's already given you to go after something that the devil wants to give you? Wouldn't it be a good morning to take an inventory and see what God has given us? A lot of times, you know, you think, well, the Lord's not blessed me. The Lord's not given me much. I've already used Miss Renee this morning, but I'll use her twice and not use her no more. But this stands out to me. I got her some car wash tickets for Christmas one year. And some of you think, well, that's real cheap. That ain't all I give her. Somebody say amen. But she loves to go get her car cleaned up in Carrollton. So she told me she went and she gave that ticket. She got her car washed. She pulled up. And them guys were rubbing it. She said, my car was looking so pretty and so shiny. She said, I looked around and up come a woman in a brand new big car. And she said, honey, when I looked at her car, my car didn't look too good. But can I tell you this morning, if you'll just look at what you got, not what somebody else has got, and be thankful for what God has given you, it would be a good day in our life when we'd realize what Jesus has already given us. How much more? The devil couldn't give us nothing that would bless us. So this morning, we must realize that as Christ is facing him in a wilderness experience, we find him taking, we find him tampering, we find him tricking. Now in verse 7, we find him treasoning. He wants us to be caught up in treason. He said, for that is delivered to me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Verse 7, if thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. If you'll just worship me. He loves treason. If you'll just worship me. Now you remember, this is why Satan got kicked out of heaven. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. God said, no, you won't. And he kicked him out with a third of them angels with him. And that's who's giving us all them trouble today, is them fallen angels. But can I tell you this morning that he wants to exalt his throne above Christ's throne. Young people, that's where he wants to get in your life, so you'll serve him instead of God. He's so jealous of God. Oh, he's so jealous of God. You know, you'll notice that in this treason, we find him very much treasoning. He wants Christ to bow to Him. How many people have you known that it seems that they served God, the devil gave them something they thought was a lot greater, and now they're following the devil around for it? But you know, I've noticed this all through the Bible. All through the Bible. That the devil, he loves to trick us, and then after we sin, then our eyes are open to what he was showing us. Let me show you this passage. Look, turn with me over in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. I was reminded about this last night. You see, the devil blinds us so we can't see till it's over. That's where he wants all of us in our lives to get. This is about Adam and Eve and the serpent in the garden. In Genesis 3, verse 6, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, watch. She took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And here's our thought in verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You see, after they partook, after they sinned, their eyes were open. The devil blinds us so we can't see till it's over. How many times, how many people have you seen that's lived for the devil all their life and on their deathbed, about soon they're ready to meet God, fixing to die, all of a sudden their eyes is open, they've seen they've wasted their whole life. Their eyes has gotten open, but it didn't open before, it opened after. May God give us the spiritual insight to realize when the devil offers us something that we see it before we partake of it. So in this passage, you'll notice we find the devil in treason. He loves for us to turn our back on God and worship himself. Now, watch verse 9 back this text and I close. Luke, I want you to see this. I never saw this till studying it out. In Luke 4 and verse number 9, not only do we find him treasoning, but now we find him taunting. Does the devil ever taunt you? Look in verse 9. I want you to see if you see what I've seen in this passage. The Bible said, Luke 4, 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him again, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. We find him taunting. He's wanting him to cast himself down. The biggest thing, I think, what the devil was wanting Christ to do was to bypass Calvary. He wanted him to throw himself down, hoping that it would kill him. But what he didn't know was Jesus was going to Calvary. He sensed that he had to go to Calvary. And could he just get him out of the will of God? Now, if you'll jump off of the highest place, there'll be people come here and draw a crowd. That's where a lot of churches have gone this morning, in the entertainment. Somebody climb up on the steeple. If there's 200 in Sunday school, we'll climb the steeple and we'll paint it purple. Somebody say amen. We love fascination. Jump off. It'll draw a big crowd. Everybody will see you, realize you're king. They'll follow you right on through into Jerusalem. But that was not the will of the Father. The will of the Father was that His Son were to go to Calvary. And Jesus knew the will of the Father. Can I tell you, falling Himself down would not save us. But He had to go to Calvary and down the cross for the sins of the world. I'm glad that Jesus rose victorious over the devil in that day and that hour. Just throw yourself down and bypass Calvary. Can I tell you, in churches, whatever happened to preaching about Calvary? Oh, jump down and get a spectacle. Man, we'll draw a crowd by entertainment. Young people, let me tell you something. Now, I say it and I don't say it to apologize after I say it this morning. Jesus said He chose the foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching. But He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. I think we'll have old-fashioned church, Bible preaching, hymn singing, altars open, encouraging one another and glorifying God. If you'll just throw yourself down and bypass Calvary. You know, a lot of you, the devil's tried to hand you something in life that try to get you to bypass the will of the Father for you. Boy, he's painted some real nice carrots in front of me and dangled them and said, you know, if you'll do this, you can have that and you can go there. This is my place. This is where God wants me. And the devil will try his best to get you to bypass the will of the Father, to go after something that you want instead of what the Father wants. Oh, this morning he's so sly. He said, Jesus, if you'll just jump down from up here, you won't have to go to that cross. You know, I want to say something. He was God-man. He was born of a virgin in a lowly stable. His father was not Joseph. His father was the Holy Ghost. So he was man, very much like you and I, but he was God-man. He could never sin because he was God. But yet in all points, he was tempted as we are. Jesus understands our temptation. And you know something, a lot of times, maybe this is the only thing the Lord's wanting me to get through this morning, but there's been a lot of times in my life, it would have been a lot easier if I would have went this way instead of doing His way. Ken, if you won't, if you'll just listen to me and do what I need you to do, you won't have to go to that cross. There's no doubt that in the mind of the God-man, in His humanity side, for one second He probably thought about, you know, I'm going to Golgotha. But He had His mind made up. And to Jesus, the will of the Father was a lot greater than all the kingdoms of the world. Can I tell you, if you're serving Jesus this morning, you can be in no better place. You can live for no better person than the Lord Jesus. I'm thankful one day that He went to Calvary for me and He didn't jump down off that pinnacle. But He went on to Calvary doing what the Father wanted Him to do. Are you doing what the Father wants you to do today? Talking about overcoming temptation. Now this, and I'm through preaching. How did He overcome temptation? There's three main thrusts that Jesus did with the devil that we all need to get familiarized with this morning. First of all, you'll notice what He says. Jesus said, it is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee, or the devil said, to keep thee. And then Jesus said, in verse number 12, Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, watch, he departed from him for a season. He was coming back. He was coming back. So that lets me know something. If He'll come back after the Son of God, won't He come back by after me and you? Now, how did He defeat him? How do we overcome temptation? Three things, real brief. Don't ever forget this. First of all, Jesus overcame him by the book. Verse 4, Jesus answered saying, it is written. Then He told him again. He said in verse 10, for it is written. He knew what was written. The devil even said, it is written. But can I tell you today, the only way we'll ever overcome him is by this book. This is a precious book. This is a book of all books that's ever been written. A lot of you have read many books, but you'll never read no book like this book. There's not one mistake in it. It's not one error in this book. Do you realize that the old men of God, the Spirit of God moved upon them and they wrote every letter in this book what God wanted me and you to hear, what He wanted us to see and believe. So whoever came him by the book. Then, secondly, won't you look what he does with the devil? He overcame him by boldness. By boldness in verse 8. The Bible said, and Jesus answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. Can I tell you, it's still all right to use that? Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Let's say this morning all together. Get thee behind me, Satan. Let's say it again. Get thee behind me, Satan. One more time. Get thee behind me, Satan. He used boldness. You don't play around the devil. You play around the devil, won't be long. He'll be playing you. The devil knows what's written down. He probably knows the Bible better than we know. But we still got to realize that's where our strength comes from this morning. From the book, from being bold, and then thirdly, from believing. Look what Jesus told him. He told him in verse number 8. He said, and Jesus answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. You see, Jesus overcame him by this book. He overcame him by boldness. Get thee behind me, Satan. And he overcame him by belief. We are to worship him in spirit and in truth. How many times has the devil tempted you to do away with what God has for you in your life and go for something bigger, something brighter? But it won't take him long to show it to you. You may be here this morning. You've never been saved. I'll get Miss Sherry to come. She'll play something on the instrument. I'd like to open this altar. I want to ask you something. Do you know that you know that you're saved? Have you ever trusted Christ to be your Savior? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt if the Lord returned today that you'd go and live with the Lord forever? If a car wreck took you out on the way home today, would you be right with your Lord? You can be this morning because Jesus loves you. Young person, you ever give your life and heart to Christ? The devil paints you a real pretty picture. You know, in the schools today, in our government today, all around this world, the devil's just painting real pretty pictures in a moment of a time. Look what all you can have. Look what all you can get. But child of God, look at what you got this morning. Look at what you got and how good God's been to you. Has He done anything for you? I was raised around a dairy farm. So many times I'd see them old cows. They're standing on green grass and they're stretched over that barbed wire fence trying to eat out of the ditch that they couldn't get in. They'd do us good today to realize what all God's got around us and how good He's been to us. I like something else that I didn't cover, but y'all remember when Lot went down to Sodom. Abraham, his uncle, went to rescue him. A great battle broke out. Abraham took his hired servants, defeated them, brought Lot back home. When he did, there was two kings stepped out. One was Melchizedek, met him. Abraham worshipped him. I think it was a theophany of Christ. But the second character is what I was reminded of studying this passage. His name was King of Sodom. You know what he said? He said, Abram, if you'll give me all these people, you take all these riches, you get all this stuff, you can have it, but I want the people. See, that's the way the devil is. He wants the souls. And I love what Abraham said to him. He said, let me tell you something. I ain't taking nothing you got, because then you'll run around and tell everybody that you made Abraham rich. He said, I won't even take of a shoe latchet of what you got. He said, God has been good to me. Has God been good to you? I appreciate Him this morning. Miss Sherry, play. Maybe you need